From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispal, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispal.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of From the Pavilion. Myself and Callum Guest are in the studio for another week. And joining us in the studio this week is St Ives and Warboys skipper Jack Haycock. He'll be talking all things about their side. A great start to the season in Whitings 2 and all about that merger with Warboys at the start of the season. Callum will be running up the APL side as well, speaking to all three skippers this evening. Unfortunately, all three of them lost, which isn't great news. They're not going to be in great moods, but we'll see what they have to say later on. Well, Coton skipper Declan Fitzherney, him and his side are in great form at the minute. He'll be on the phone, not to talk much about Coton, but to quiz him, of course, next in the series of Who's the Biggest Badger. We'll see what his local cricket knowledge is like. He said earlier, it's not so great. But anything's probably better than Alex's effort last week, so we'll see how he gets on. We'll also look through the honours board, see who top scored and got the most wickets from the weekend in Cambridgeshire. And also we'll be talking England once again as the World Cup gets started tomorrow at the Oval. England take on South Africa. We'll be talking about their starting 11, who should play. We'll review the Royal London One Day Cup final. Gladly, we'll be reviewing that. And Australia, how far can they go in this World Cup with David Warner and Steve Smith back in their sides? And who will be England's main contenders this summer? Yeah, so I said not a great week for our APL sides. Burnley Exeting lost by 4 wickets to Horsford. They're sitting ninth place. Cambridge lost by 1 wicket to Mildenhall and they sit fifth. And Saffron Walden lost by 3 wickets to Frinton on Sea and they sit fourth. So not a great week for any of our sides, really. In the Whiting Partners divisions, Eton Stoke can sit top. It's probably just an alphabetical order, isn't it, Callum, with Sawson in second. St Ives and Warboys are first in the Whiting Partners Division 2, and Eton Stoke can two sit top of Division 3. So we're going to talk St Ives and Warboys now. Jack Haycock joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming on the show, Jack.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
Yeah, firstly, let's talk about Saturday and Monday, because you played 2 games.
Yep.
And won both, so in great form, top of one and Partners Division 2 as well.
Yeah, so we won 4, lost 1, and we had 1 rained off, which has sort of stitched up a bit with the league because every other team played that day. Saturday, Saffron Walden was, I think we were 3rd at the time, they were 2nd, so it was a big game. Kept them to 224, which was probably a pretty good effort from us at Saffron Walden, and we were missing 3 of our better bats, so it was probably in the balance halfway point. We were about 80 for 2 going all right, and then we had a terrible spell where we lost 4 or 5 quick wickets, and we were about 100 for 7, and you know, we thought, well, they definitely thought the game was over. They switched off. And Chris Whitfield came in at 7, smashed 66 in no time at all. And our Aussie came in at 9 because he'd injured himself, but he'd batted at 3 the week before and made 80, so he was in good form, and he steadied it and kept us on track.
Yeah, and a 1 wicket win in that Saturday game.
Yeah.
Against Saffron Walden. Seems to be pretty nervous to skip, were you?
Oh, whenever our number 11 Sean Aspin gets his pads on, I get nervous. And we were in the 48th over and we were just telling him to block it out. I think we needed 7 to win at the time, and then all of a sudden they bowled 5 wides, and the scores were level before we knew it, and there was 2 balls left, thinking, Sean, just please block this and wait for the overseas Burnley to be back on strike. But Sean ended up smashing one through the offside for 4, so happy days.
Yeah, exactly. And then backing out with a decent win on Monday too. You know, in 3 days, you've scored over 200 plus.
Yeah. It's a really good sign for us, because last season, I think we only had 3 different players score 50s for us. And we've had 5 different players score 50s already. And we've still got 2 or 3 big players to come back in as well, who'll be hungry for runs. So yeah, it's looking good. Early days, but yeah, I'm happy with where we're at.
Yeah, so starting at the season, played 6, won 4, won abandoned, lost 1, sit top of the division. Early days, what was your sort of aims at the start of the season? Were you always thinking promotion, or is it sort of reassessing now?
Yeah, I think so. I think we finished 3rd last year, and I think when we had our strongest 11 out, we were probably the best team in the league, but we just struggled with that bit of squad depth. And obviously with the merger, and we've recruited quite well this summer and brought in an overseas as well, that's really made the difference. Now I've got, you know, 12, 13, 14 players to choose from every week instead of scratching around for a couple, so...
And beating a side like Saffron Walden as well, a side who you probably look at currently are probably going to be challenging at the end of the season. You mentioned off air as well that the two side who probably want to go up into Division 1 as well. So getting one over on them early on in the season is always good.
Oh, especially to win those close games that make a season really. The week before we played up at Park and we won in the last over. They needed 6 to win off the last over and we bowled a maiden. So we've won two really close games in a row and then had a very comprehensive win on Monday. So hopefully we keep this roll going.
Yeah, hopefully so. And like I said, pushy top Division 2, so a great start. Seen any sort of standout performers so far of the season?
As I say, there's five of us have scored 50s already. Our overseas has made a great start. He's a friend of mine who I met in the winter in Australia. So I'm really happy for him. He's averaging 60-odd. He scored a few more runs than me, which he keeps winding me up about. But just everyone's chipping in with the ball. Just everyone... We keep getting the individual performances at the right time.
Yeah, really good. And in terms of the sort of start and scoring runs, like we said, two scores over 200, you know, 200 plus in the last 3 days. Scoring hasn't been that easy for many teams this season. And Callum probably vouch for this as well in terms of lots of teams in the Whites Barnes and EAPL divisions who aren't scoring runs. Callum, why do you think that is, that teams have struggled to score runs this early in the season?
Well, I think for yourself, I mean, to chase over 200 in that game, I think the pressure, what we found is when we put a score on the board, the pressure for the teams chasing it, they've almost just crumbled. I mean, we had it on Saturday, we scored over 300.
Yeah.
And Wisbeach ended up 120 because they had to come out and play some shots.
Yeah.
So actually it just shows that, you know, batting first and batting second, you've got the capabilities to win games, which is massively important.
Mm. But it was weird because, I mean, last season when... domestically in the county championship, runs were so hard to come by early on in the season. In sort of a local level, especially when the pitches started to dry out and the pitch got hard in the summer, you know, people were scoring 200, you know, 250 plus most weeks. But this season you see loads of sort of freak scores if you scroll down the divisions of teams getting out for something like 70 80 60. It's just bizarre. Why do you think it has been that way? I mean, we probably haven't had the nicest of weather on Saturdays, have we? It's been bizarre.
I mean, I honestly think it's just a mentality thing. I think teams almost feel like as soon as a team gets a big score on the board, they've got to go for broke from the start, and you're gonna win it in the first 10 overs. But actually, you can also lose the game quite easily in the first 10, 15 overs. Mm. So it's almost that risk and reward. You can put a team on the back foot by going hard at the start, but you can also lose 2-3 of your better batters, and then you really are chasing the game.
Mm. And in terms of this Saturday, Jack, you got Kim Bolton, probably a side who came down from Div 1 and another sort of big club for Division 2. So what are your thoughts going to tell
me? Yeah, so it's another big one, really. A bit of a local derby. It's always a bit of spice for a Kim Bolton game. I see their new overseas has got off to a bit of a fly with the bat. I think he's gone 120, 80 or something like that. So if we can get him early, I'm backing us in again. We've got a few missing away for the football, so... We've still got a very good 11 though, so I'm still backing us.
Good, yeah, good to hear. Any guys that miss him for the football, they'll have to just pay double next week because the week after.
Absolutely.
In terms of, let's talk a bit about the merger then with War Boys.
Okay.
When did you sort of make or sort of flirt about the original idea of merging with War Boys? Because obviously I think they're a club obviously playing the Hunts divisions.
Yeah, so it was probably back end of last summer. Our president, Derek Staines, always has a friendly match with War Boys and we've always got on well with them. They've obviously had a hard time recently, having dropped their first team, who were playing Whittings a couple of years ago as well. It just went from there, really, because our first team had been doing well, but our twos were just about surviving, really, and our threes, I think they played one game last year, so they were going to go. And we just didn't want to keep going, trying to survive. Before why not put it together and try and succeed and become like the biggest club in the area. So. Mm. It's early days, but it's going well so far.
Yeah, what's the sort of the benefits, the pros and cons that you've seen so far in this short time as a sort of like a duo club?
So as first team captain, we've had a lot more squad depth, and it's just been brilliant to see the twos and the threes playing every week and winning. I think the twos are top and the threes are third, but they're undefeated as well. So our aim is three promotions this year for all three teams. So hopefully we can keep working towards that. It's not always been easy, but it takes a lot of work sometimes. The committee, the amount of work they've put in in the off season has been incredible, really. Yeah.
You must have sort of been so glad to get down to playing cricket again that first game of the season.
Tell
after
me about
all
it.
The off-field business.
The amount of times the group chats were going off and the meetings and the all the admin that people have had to do to get this in place has been a fantastic effort. And now, yeah, glad to see the rewards taking place on the pitch.
Yeah, there's something you talk about, Callum, as well, aren't you? I think you mentioned me last week a bit about you were saying abroad in Australia at club level, if there were sort of all these teams close together, they would just merge and you would get, like, the cream would rise to the top and you get the best in the first team and it would make the other side stronger.
It is definitely that. I think, just reiterating that point, it actually makes the whole squad and the whole squad depth bigger and gives the captain more choices, but also it's the lower teams, the second, third, fourth teams, you know, you create a bigger, you know, the better teams down there as well, which is fantastic for the whole club. The whole environment then changes, and I think we are going to see more of that. Local villages potentially struggling for Saturday teams, they'll end up merging with a bigger, and it's almost like at the moment, do you stick or twist? I think we've seen a lot of teams folding, getting to that stage where they have to fold, when actually is that necessary?
I don't think clubs should be afraid to merge. I mean, it was if you'd said to me a year ago we'd have three teams top of the league and we'd have merged with Warboys, I'd have like laughed at you. But yeah, like where I live, there's probably seven or eight clubs within a 10-mile radius to me. And when I was in Australia in the winter, people would travel half an hour just to train for their local club. So it does show that we do have a lot of clubs around here. So clubs shouldn't be so against a merger.
Do you think it's not happening yet in Britain because we're sort of traditionalists and we love the village club, and perhaps when I don't want to say I'm offending a lot of people, but when the sort of the older types in clubs who sort of stick by their ways a bit sort of move on and you get a new generation of guys on the committee, we might see more of this.
Yeah, there are ways around it. I think, like you said, the traditionalists want to see cricket on their own village green and stuff like that. And I think my club at the moment, Sawston and Babram, had that issue where, you know, Babram want to see cricket on the green and they want to see a good standard. So it's almost like, well, who do we play on that? And we've come to the agreement that the second and the third teams will play there, and the first team, midweek team, will play at Babram as well. So it's kind of, you know, we found a resolution to it. But I think that's the main issue, isn't it? Them village teams, when they're merging, they don't want to lose the good standard of cricket.
It is a really tough one. I mean, I look at Bluntsham and our club, and for the last few years, we've pretty been, obviously, well, last year had a brilliant year. Both clubs were outstanding, and we had surplus or people in the squad who weren't playing games, and we had two teams each week. This year, selection's been a bit more of an issue for, you know, the second team and the midweek, and obviously first team in Knox has a knock-on effect. And it just, obviously, it's not something we're thinking about yet, but when you do have such a small village and then you go to the schools and you try and grab players, we have a massive gap, I think, from about under-13s, 11s to our second team squad, and then we're struggling for, you can't really bring those into the second team, and boost at the number is a real tricky one. I imagine in probably 10, maybe even 5 years' time, we'll be sitting here saying, why don't we do this earlier? Or we'll see a lot more of it. In terms of the squads then, I think Warboys had two teams, and obviously St Ives had three. So merged together, you'd assume that would be five, but I imagine you just have three really strong cricketing teams now.
Last season, Warboys only had one. And we basically only had two because our threes cancelled every week. So we've put three together and we've got plans for a fourth next season because we've got six or seven people who can't get in the game on a Saturday. So,
And in terms of, like you said, the aims, currently all the sides sit top and that is the case. Was that always the ambition going into these seasons, to try and hit the ground running?
Once we started indoor nets back in February, I think from February to April we had over 55 different people turn up to indoor nets. So with those numbers, you're always going to have a decent team out. So even when we were just St Ives, there was always too big a gap between the first and the second team. Like, you see the big clubs around here at the moment, like Eton Soak and Foxton, Wisbeach, their second team are only a couple leagues below them now. So long term, that is our aim, to get the twos a couple of divisions higher into senior cricket, and then obviously the threes need to get promoted this year so we can get a fourth team in to junior four, I think it is now.
Yeah, and in terms of the main aim of the top club is obviously get out to White and to One. You've been sort of floating around one and two for the last 10 or so years.
Yeah.
I guess you really want to sort of make your status now with Snipes and Warboys as a top tier team.
Yeah, we've been a bit of a yo-yo club, to be honest. When I first sort of came through into the first team, we had a very good team, and I think they finished fourth or fifth in Tucker One. So that's the aim. You know, I sort of had a 3-year plan since we started the merger to get promoted this year, survive the second year, and then become an established mid-table club in our third year.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, well, thanks, Jack. We'll chat more a bit about, well, we'll get you involved in the conversation in England later on, but that's great to hear about St Ives and Woolworths doing well, and a great example, really, like you said, not to be afraid of the merger, and I'm glad it's going really well.
Thank you.
Cheers. Welcome back to From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're moving on to the AAPL roundup now, and we sort of had a tricky choice of who to start with this week because obviously all our sides lost, but probably the narrowest in defeat was Cambridge. So I'm delighted to say that skipper Johnny Atkinson joined us on the phone. Now, you all right, Johnny?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Callum's going to sort of roast you with some questions, really, after your 1 wicket loss to Mildenhall this week.
Yeah, mate.
How are we, mate? It's Guesty. How are we doing?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Yeah, not bad.
Be kind.
So 1 wicket loss at the weekend to Mildenhall. Post a relatively modest 164.
Yes. I mean, the wicket was hard. It was pure dust. It was actually probably on like a lot of other grounds. It would have been a decent score. We'd have posted a lot more. We didn't bat too bad. We just got some horrendous like deliveries that just kept really low. So at halfway point, we probably thought we got 20 or 30 below par, but knew with our bowling attack, in particular our spinners, that we could have we were in with a shot. And then it just ebbed and flowed throughout their innings, and then they put on a decent partnership and they got some decent players. But then... they unfortunately just tipped us to the end, and in the second year in a row, they beat us really tight at the end. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll be remembering their celebrations after the game when we play them later in the season.
It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, I suppose it's such a tight loss. As previously noted, and as you just said, the bowling unit seems to have really gelled in the last few weeks. Is it something you've talked about, or is has it just clicked?
We're really fortunate to have three good spinners, two good seamers, and we've got Searsy as well, who bowls sometimes. we've got a really nice, well-rounded bowling attack. I think that whatever total we post, we're confident that we're always going to take wickets. And I think that will be really helpful going into the format that we're playing now, where in the second innings you have to bowl teams out to win the game. We're looking forward to them carrying on the form as we go on.
How did you find the format change? Obviously, I suppose you're used to it, having played a few seasons, but how was the format change at the weekend? Was it all right?
I really don't like the longer format, and I don't think there's many people in many teams in the East Anglian Premier League who like playing all day and quite a negative format. We much preferred the shorter 50-50. It provides much better positive cricket, and I sincerely hope that eventually the whole league changes to 50-50, because it just is so much more enjoyable to not only play but watch as well.
I think almost what it could go to is almost a 50 over white ball half the season and 50 over red ball the second half of the season, but still do like a win-lose format. But then obviously the traditionalists have still got the red ball format in there as well, which could probably be a better...
Definitely. I think that, like, I was talking to our overseas youngie about it, and for example, the 2020 finals, East Anglian 2020 finals, though, we had a... Saffron Walden, where we had the coloured kit and the pink ball and everything, just made the cricket so much more interesting. If we had like one day kit and just everything a bit more exciting, it'd get people more enthusiastic about playing cricket. Whereas at the moment, I think the numbers in cricket are a bit down, apart from at Sawston, who've got about 8 teams, but every other team is struggling a bit for numbers, I think.
Yeah. Big game this week, and then sees you travel to Cop Dock. They've been on a pretty bad run themselves, and then comfortably beaten at the weekend. Where do you feel the game will be won and lost? Obviously, you just spoke a bit about your bowling. Is it about getting runs on the board so they can defend it?
Yeah, I think Cop Dock's a really good wicket and a lovely ground. So I think it always all depends on their selection. They've obviously got Ben Claydon, who played for us up until last year, who's a crucial signing for them. And they've also got another lad called Matt Hunt, but I don't know if either of them are bowling. I knew they had a couple of injury worries. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a crucial game for us to try and get going again. We haven't really had a bit of the season where we've won games consistently. Every time we've won a game or two, we've lost. So nice to get a bit of momentum going, I think. I don't know if Michael Pepper's going to be playing for us yet. He's obviously playing for Essex in the County Championship this week. Mm-hmm. So him being available will be a big thing. And I think it'd be nice to see a few of the top order batsmen get some big runs on what will be hopefully a really good wicket.
Mm. Like you said, it's been a bit of a mixed start after six games. Are you happy where you are? And what are the expectations going forward?
Yeah, it seems in the league that most teams are beating most teams. There's no standout. I mean, Frinton are obviously quite strong, as are Sudbury and Swords, and they're probably going to be all vying for the title this year. I mean, I go into every season thinking that we can win the league and hoping that we do, whether or not it's a realistic aim for this year. But I think if we can carry on and build a bit of momentum with the team that we've got, I don't see why we can't finish in the top four. And then it's crucial to try and keep all the lads and going on to next season to try and then maybe go a step further the year after.
No, fantastic. So, yeah, good luck on the weekend, mate. Hopefully it all goes well.
Thanks, mate. And, you too. Cheers. Get some runs.
Cheers, Johnny, mate.
Cheers, no worries at all.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for nicely avoiding the quiz last week as well. So, Sears yet to do it.
Oh, mate, he's useless. Yeah.
You just need to redeem yourself after New Year's Day, that's all, mate.
Oh, well, I wasn't happy with the questions, to be honest.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, that was John Atkinson there. Just fade him down because he started to roast us on the questions. Cheers, Johnny. We'll hear more from him next week. Of course, Cambridge are back in action this weekend. Jack, I'll bring you in the conversation a bit because he spoke a bit about sort of mixing formats and changing it up in terms of the different ones you could do instead of red ball or white ball, colour kits and stuff. Do you think, would you sort of go for that as well?
It's a tricky one really because I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I like the red ball and the white clothes. But in Australia we did half the season was coloured clothes and white ball, 40 over games. And then the other half was 80 over games, 2-day games, red ball, white clothes, sorry. And it didn't really make much difference in Australia, to be honest. But for the high leagues, I don't know about the EAPL because I've never been up that high, but I'm happy with how the format is in Whitings. I think maybe the junior leagues could maybe have more 20-20 games just to keep numbers high, perhaps. Just like half the games 20-20, maybe.
We spoke about a lot on the show about whether junior cricket could be 30 overs or 20 overs and stuff.
Potentially,
I mean, we even said, like, even if you do that, I don't think you're going to get suddenly like 10,000 kids coming through the door. It's like all changing perceptions and stuff as well. But that's for a debate and another day that could take more than 6 hours, more than let alone 1 hour. But after this track and a bit of some adverts, we'll get Declan Fitzhoney on the phone and try and quiz him as who's the next and who's the biggest badger in Cambridgeshire.
Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Welcome back to From the Field here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Myself, Callum Guest and Jack Haycock in the studio this afternoon. It's time to play our weekly quiz now, and this week trying to get some questions right and beat Sam Riffington on the leaderboard and, of course, overtake Alex Sears after last week's shoddy performance. This week is Declan Fitzherney, the Coton Cricket Club captain. Thanks for coming on, Declan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Before we get quizzing and test your knowledge, let's just talk a bit about Coton, who are in terrific form once again. Another win on the weekend against Camden. You must feel in pretty good nick, the side.
Yeah, and actually we've experienced a bit of trouble getting sort of full-strength teams out for the first few weeks. So to be getting wins is a bonus at this stage. And hopefully, you know, we're going to get back to having a bit more of a settled side. And push on for another promotion.
Yeah, this weekend, very convinced. They're 284 for three scored. And, of course, someone who will read out in the honours board later on, Lee Bukowski, scoring 157 not out. Not a bad one for his averages.
No. I think, in fact, I don't think he's been got out yet this season. So he's still without an average.
Great knock for him. And you weren't playing this weekend in the one, so young Ollie Bradbury stepping up in your place as skipper.
Yeah, I actually sort of handed over to him at the end of last year, just with other commitments, meaning I'm probably not going to be able to play as many games as I'd like this year. And so for a bit of, you know, stability, Ollie, who will be playing most, if not all, the games, is actually, you know, skippering the side this year.
And St Ives Warboys 2s, yourself and Fenditton make up the top three. St Ives and Warboys 2 is at the top, but yourselves and Fenditton haven't lost yet. So it's sort of bubbling up to be a nice title race at the minute.
Yeah, and I think we've got St Ives and Warboys this weekend, actually. So that'll be, you know, an interesting one to see sort of where they are in terms of standard and, you know, how we go against them.
Yeah, is promotion the aim or is it just too early to tell?
I think promotion's always the aim. I think, definitely the league is our priority. So yeah, definitely want to win it and get promoted again, and then, you know, see how we go in the senior leagues.
Nice. Well, that is the easy bit out of the way, Declan. It's time to start quizzing. You said earlier your sort of local cricket knowledge isn't the best, but you're all right on your national stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean I'm not originally from around here, so I don't really know that much about local cricket.
I'm sure. As long as you score one point, you'll do better than Alex Sears last week. So
I wouldn't count on it.
Well, how it goes is we'll give you 1 minute to answer as many questions as you can fit in, and however many answers you get right from that will be your points number that you get then for a table that you get. So this week's table is highest run scorers in the Cricket World Cup. Of course, Cricket World Cup starts tomorrow. So, for example, if you were to get 5 questions right in the 1 minute round, you would then, for each answer you get right in the table, will be 5 points. So, if you get 1 right, you get 5 points, 2 right is 10 points, 3 right is 15 points, etc., etc., etc. And you can declare on the number in the table that you want, although if you do get one wrong, you go bust. So, you get no points whatsoever, as did Alex Sears last week when he said Graham Swan for England's highest ODI wicket takers. So, does that all make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Is it highest run scorers in the Cricket World Cup history?
Yes, yeah.
Oh. Okay,
we'll start the 1 minute round. Callum is ready to keep count of your 1 minute round scores. So I'll put 1 minute on the clock, and that will start when you answer the first question. You ready?
Yep, fire away.
So we'll start. Now, a nice easy one for you. Which team won the CCA Junior Cup in 2018?
Coton.
Correct. Which former England and Middlesex cricketer won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in 2003?
Tufnell.
Correct. Who scored their first century of the season for Essex against Kent this week?
Cook.
Correct. Who was the first overseas player to play county cricket for Yorkshire?
Sachin Tendulkar.
Oh, correct. Which team won the One Day Cup on Saturday?
Somerset.
They did. What was special about this year's One Day Cup final at Lord's?
Last one.
Correct. Who took the most wickets for Coton last season?
Lee Bukowski.
Correct. Which New Zealand batsman once super glued his gloves to his bat handle because of a problem with his grip?
Can I declare?
Just incorrect. Which team featured for the first time in the 1992 Cricket World Cup?
Sri Lanka.
No, South Africa. And who is top of Whitings and Partners 1?
Foxton.
Incorrect, unfortunately. Eaton Soken. Your time is up, Declan. Callum, how many did you get right?
You got 7 right.
7. So great score.
Okay.
Declan.
And who superglued his glove? Was it Gilchrist?
No, it was John Wright for New Zealand.
John Wright, no, wouldn't have got that.
No, so as I said, you're now moving on to your top 10 table, which is highest run scorers in Cricket World Cups. So you give me any of the 10, it doesn't have to be in order, but if you give me an incorrect answer, you lose the points you gather. So if you get 1 right, you get 7 points, 2 right is 14 points, 3 right, 21 okay. points, and you can declare at any point as well. So if you if you'd like to give me your first answer whenever you're ready, that would be great.
Ponting.
Correct. He is second on the list with 1,743.
Sangakkara.
Correct. 1,532.
Where's he on the list?
Third on the list.
Alan Border.
Declan.
Damn.
He wasn't on the list. I will have a quick research and find out where he is. But not in the top 10, unfortunately. It was going so well. It was going so well. I'll read out the list for you. So top of the list was Sachin Tendulkar with 2,278. Ricky Ponting, then with 1,743. Kumar Sangakkara, 1,532. Brian Lara with 1,225. A.B. de Villiers, 1,207. Jai Surya with 1,165. Kallis with 1,148. Dilshan of Sri Lanka with 1,112. Jai Wardner with 1,100. And then making up the list in 10th was Gilchrist with 1,085. So, unfortunately, Declan, you scored 0 points. However, you do go above Alex Sears because you scored 7 in the one-minute round. So, you're second in the table at the minute, but we have only had 3 contestants.
I'll take that.
Declan, thank you very much, mate. Thanks for coming on. Great sport, and great. And all the best for this weekend against St Ives.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, Declan. God, gutting, isn't it? So, Jack, Callum, any of those would you have got? Who would you bank for first there, Jack?
I think I would have got everyone right that he got right, and then I would have been a little bit stuck when he got stuck, I think.
Yeah, Callum?
You probably got to go Satch, you know, yeah. But...
I think
the way he flew through that 1 minute round, I thought it's just up and see who's bad at it.
I was thinking 15 questions, I'm going to run out of questions. Yeah. But yeah, no. I guess we sort of gave him Sachin because he mentioned him in the 1 minute round with Yorkshire County Cricket Club, and then I thought that was a bank of the table, but yeah, no.
A lot of them come down to the years played and how many World Cups they played as well.
Yeah. So what was his other answer? Was it? I can't remember what it was.
Border.
Alan Border. Yeah.
Alan Border. Let's have a quick research. Nice radio. This is I'm typing it on the computer. Alan Border. You know what? I can't do it this quickly. We'll go to some music and some adverts, and then we'll have a look after that. So we'll go to some music from Noah and the Whale, and then we'll come back after this short break. Welcome back to From the Field on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're going to try and see if we can speak to Joe Tetley now of Bowen Lexing, as of course we're rounding up our ELPL size. Joe, are you there?
Hi there, yeah, you are.
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Pass over to Callum then, he's going to say grill you on this weekend, on the last weekend's results, sorry.
How are we, Tet? All right, mate. Another loss to Horsford at the weekend.
Yeah.
296 at the halfway stage. You must have thought you had enough runs. Where did it go wrong?
I think as a team this year, we just haven't put a whole performance in. We've done one half well and the other half not as well. So we haven't got a bit of light, a couple of ties where we probably could have. We didn't get a few decisions as well, which doesn't help, but you've just got to keep going in those situations. I think we just sort of let them get into the game that second half, and Marilla's back. Batted really well and got 70 quite quickly. So,
yeah, I mean, that was my next question. Actually, it seems a little bit at the moment you can't string a full game together. Is that a fair comment? And how are you looking to rectify that? Obviously, I think you're a few players short of the weekend. What's the availability looking like for this weekend?
Yeah, we're not too bad. I mean, probably lacking one or two with a few exams still. But batting again is strong. It's just, can we back it up in the field well and bowl your line length and make them change, really. We get sort of into a change a bit too early, I think. But, yeah, hopefully we can put out a full performance this week, and especially against the strong Swords inside that we know we're going to be up against.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, you're away to league leaders this weekend. What's your expectations for the game? Is it about getting as many points as you can, or are you going in it to win? And how are you looking to contain what a batting lineup it is?
Yeah, every game is out to win. Going out there just to pick a point. But I mean, batting, you do get 10 points, you get 250, and we sort of try to achieve it every week. That's always the first target for the batters. But then bowling, if we do put the performance in, we can bowl sides out, and there's no difference towards them. We've done it in the past, we've beaten them quite comfortably in the past, especially in this format. They can be hit and miss, as everyone can. We beat Sudbury a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully we can that lead over.
You spoke about the format last week. Is there a certain way you go in this format to pick up more points? Obviously, you're saying your batting's probably the stronger out of the two for yourselves. Would it be a case of batting first and making sure you get the 10 points? And, you know, that way, if you get over 250, you're going to put the pressure on anyway.
Yeah, I think against this sort of side, they're similar to us. They bat very deep, and the bowler's the weaker side of it, but they're very good cricketers that understand the game very well, so do the little things well. And it puts a lot of pressure on you when you are batting. So hopefully, yeah, we can win the toss and hopefully we can bat. But if not, we'll have to do it the other way around and go out there and try and get the win.
Mm. And obviously, six games into this season, what's the expectations, would you say, from now on? Obviously, Vauxhall Mallards are struggling down at the bottom at the moment. Have you highlighted the games in the future weeks that you're looking to win?
No, I don't think we've highlighted games, certain games, every game we get to win, because I think we can win every game. But yeah, I'd like us to put a whole performance together a bit more consistent. We haven't really done that yet this year. And I think we might have a season where it's a bit of a reverse from last year, where we got off to an absolute flyer and sort of slowed down second half. So hopefully we can have a better second half than we are having first half.
Thanks for that, mate. And good luck at the weekend.
Cheers, bud, and
yourself. Cheers, Joe. Thank you, mate.
Thanks.
Joe Tetley there, Burnexing skipper. And sound about sort of selection dilemmas, it seems to be a thing across the whole county at the minute, doesn't it, in terms of Coton and Declan Sand as well, struggling with numbers. Why do you think that is? Any reason in particular?
Could just be the way it falls. And I mean,
Champions League final.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, a lot of Spurs fans around here.
Yeah, I mean, they all come out the woodwork now, don't they? To the final. No, it's just the way it falls, and the end of exam periods for the majority of universities. I think that's their. I think speaking to Ted last week, that was his worry, was that they got a couple away from university doing exams. But it's about making sure you do put in a performance and pick up big points when you are a few players short.
Yeah, certainly so. I'm going to try and speak to Saffron Warden skipper Ben Harris now, because he did say to me he was on a beach somewhere, and you said he was off golfing today, Callum, is that right?
Yeah, I think he's off on a golf trip. So.
Let's see if he's had a bit of a break to speak to us. Ben, you there?
Yeah, hi there.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, good. Just shot about 30 over, so...
You could have lied then, to be fair. We'd have absolutely no idea, but very honest, nice and honest. Thank you, Ben. How you doing, mate? Yeah, it was a bit of a tough game on the weekend, and one you came second in as well against Frinton-on-Sea, but not by much.
Yeah, look, it was a tough game. Having spoken to you last week, kind of we anticipated that, the side they've got. And, you know, they've been in the league for years, so they kind of know what to do. They know their game. We definitely learned a lot playing a timed game. So hopefully I think we'll be sharper in a few areas this weekend. But it was, I think quite a few people were surprised how close we actually run them. And that was kind of, you could kind of sense that in the environment of the ground, you know, where for the first 50, 60 runs Frinton put on, the whole crowd was up and about. And then, you know, a few wickets and a tea break and a few afterwards. It was tense moments. I think, you know, it's a credit to the lads that we've put Frinton on the back foot there for a bit.
Yeah, we spoke a bit last week about the change of format. How did you find it suit your team's style of play?
Definitely didn't suit my game. but Finn Carson, I think he batted really, really well. I don't know whether you've seen, but I think he got 40 off about 110 balls on a tricky wicket, which is a really, really good innings, having, you know, against such a good bowling pack as well, like digging in like that and showing patience. You know, with 220, 230 was probably par. I wouldn't say we were on course for that, but Finn and I put on a little partnership before lunch. But then I stupidly flashed at one straight after the lunch break, and that kind of put us back on the back foot. But thanks to him and Joe Barnes, we put on a good score. But we've definitely learned a lot, Callum. Definitely learned a lot. There's a lot of time in it. You know, 120 overs in a day. You think there's 90 in a test match. You know, it's a long day.
Obviously, you got Sudbury this Saturday at home, and two out of your three league wins have been at home. So is it about making that a bit of a fortress for yourselves?
I think that's the aim. We certainly tried to do that last year, and I think we did that pretty well. I think we only lost one game at home last season. Definitely more comfortable at home, like any team would be. But saying that, I don't think we'd necessarily travel badly, you know, given last weekend's performance. But I think, yeah, I think kind of knowing the ground, knowing the dimensions, knowing, you know, what works at the ground definitely helps. I think, you know, if we can get a win this weekend, you know, we're still in fourth.
Yeah.
You know, we could be pushing top three. I think that's an absolute, you know, that's brilliant for the for a club that's just come up from Tucker One. I think, you know, it would be surprising a few people.
Fantastic, yeah. And obviously you're playing Sudbury, who you done well in the pre-season game yourself, so hopefully you can get back into form.
Hopefully, mate. haven't found the middle for a while. Used too many up in the friendlies, but hopefully.
All it is is two shots.
Yeah, two shots.
Okay, mate.
If it's anything by my golf, everything's gone cow corner. So I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Good luck for Saturday, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Cheers, Ben.
Thanks, Oliver.
Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispal, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispal.com.
Welcome back from the Pavilion then. So we're going to be, final few minutes of the show, we'll talk the England Cricket World Cup and the All London One Day Cup final as well. So all mics are up for the last debate then, guys. So let's talk England then. Obviously get the World Cup campaign underway tomorrow against South Africa. I've sort of notched down my starting 11, just one space to be filled. I imagine that's one most people in the country will probably agree with, in Roy Bairstow, Root, Morgan, Stokes, Butler, Ali, Rashid, Wokes, Blank and Archer. Mm-hmm. Would you guys go along that as well?
Plunkett for me, I think.
In the gap, yeah?
Yeah, middle overs job for Plunkett, I think, yeah.
Callum?
Wood?
Yeah, is it? Apparently, he was obviously seen in the nets today, and I think they was judging by that net, both him and Plunkett bowled, and it's probably going to be Plunkett.
Yeah.
But fitness seems to be an issue for him again.
It's one of those, isn't it? Oh, I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. Keeping Wood fit is crucial, really. And it was the big debate whether or not he was going to play at all. Obviously, he didn't play them first few one-dayers, and then come in for the last couple and done really well. But I think it's the risk and reward with him and Plunkett, both relatively injury-prone throughout their careers. It could be almost one of those where they chop and change them both.
Mm. Devil's advocate, Tom Curran, a bit unlucky. Played in Australia, of course, last year or so, got four wickets and I think might even got a 5-4 when they won the series 4-0, I think, and pretty much does very well every time he comes in with a bat and ball.
I mean, I wouldn't be equally surprised if he gets picked because of his deft bowling as well. Really good deft bowler. So I wouldn't be surprised. The problem is, I don't think you can pick him or Archer as batters. I think they've got to, you know, whoever's going to play in that spot has got to be picked on their bowling. Like I said, Plunkett's got a middle overs role, and you'd say Tom Curran's role will be at the end, so it's almost which way.
He'll get a go at some point. It's a long tournament, isn't it?
I was thinking, going into it in terms of mentality, how do you go into it? Do you go into it thinking we want to top the group and get and play the fourth, but you know, the fourth best side you qualify, or do you think we just want to get in top four and then see you get? Because a situation might arise where, I know it was in football, but the World Cup last year for England, they were better off finishing second in the route they then got to the semi-finals. There might, that sort of thing might come about again. So do you go for top spot or just to go in top four and then see how you can sort of manufacture a good semi-final?
It's difficult, isn't it? I think you're going to every game trying to win it. But like you said, with that top four if you lose your first game, it's about taking that momentum in. I think the worst case scenario for England would be to win, get through, and then maybe lose the final game before they go out to the knockout stages, because you want to take that winning momentum through with you. If we lose to South Africa, you know, it's 50 over cricket at the end of the day. It's a bit of an anomaly, isn't it?
Like with the Football World Cup, they could change their whole team as well. They've only got a 15-man squad, so whoever they pick, it's still going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, and Jack, who would you say is England's main contenders? Obviously, Smith and Warner come back into Australia and getting booed, which obviously caused a bit of controversy. But do you reckon it'll be them, India, perhaps? You know, looking at probably New Zealand.
Yeah,
South,
heart in my head is saying England big time, but I fancy New Zealand as well. I think they suit English conditions, and you look through their team, it's pretty strong.
Callum?
I've seen the West Indies just post 420 against New Zealand. I'm thinking, you know, they're the dark
horse. Was that
horse.
Today?
Yeah. No, yesterday.
I missed that. I changed my answer.
it's one of those. They do it almost, them and Pakistan almost are like that every tournament. Yeah. They turn up, you know, play terribly in the warm-up matches, and then bang, gets to the main
stuff. A few surprises.
And, you know, pull it off. But no, I've seen India play yesterday, and they look in freakishly good form, some of them. I've seen Dhoni just put it out of the park. So, I mean, I think it could be semi-finals of maybe England, India, Australia and West Indies. I'll go West Indies.
Jack?
England, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think anywhere in between those will be fine. It's just, I mean, whatever, the semi-final lineup is going to be difficult to pick a winner on, and then because it's done in a way, obviously it's just a knockout game in the semi and then the final, it's a one-off game. You're really tough to pick the winner from those final four. Let's talk about the Royal London One Day Cup final.
I wonder why we're talking about this.
Just quickly, might as well draw a bit on county cricket. Convincing from ball one to the last ball of the match, Somerset ran out winners against Hampshire.
Yeah, I think without taking anything away from Somerset, I think losing Vincent Dawson really has cost them. They lost their best batter and best bowler. And I mean, it just shows how valuable them players are. I mean, they're going to be on the periphery of the England squad, but how strong that England squad is, the fact that, you know, they basically almost single-handedly got Hampshire to that final, and how much of a weaker team Hampshire were when they played Somerset. That's not taking anything away from Somerset. I think they played a fantastic game.
I think, yeah, I just think there's a mood throughout the whole club in terms of county championship and as well, where it feels like it could be, I'm not going to like put my money where my mouth is and say like an era of dominance, but it feels like things are going right there. And obviously the club's doing very well on the pitch and off it as well. For yourself, Cams v Norfolk this weekend, 50 over.
Yeah.
Unicorns Trophy, obviously disappointing last year to go out against Bucks, I believe. We spoke a bit about on air on the live stream on the weekend in the T20 match about sort of the side being similar, so that T20 and 50 over side will remain pretty much the same.
I think both teams will be relatively similar. I think we've got one change. I think we've got Josh Smith coming in, who plays for Peterborough up in the North Ants League, but he's a local lad. He went to Kim Bolton School, very good young player. He's coming in to open the batting, so other than that, I think it'll be pretty much similar team, and they're pretty much identical throughout the whole three formats, so we know what they've got to offer. And yeah, I think it'll be a really good game of cricket.
Cool. Thank you, Callum. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for coming on. Quickly read out the honours board for this weekend. Matthew Haig, the top three. So third, Matthew Haig for Sawston Bay Ram, scoring 112. Second was Kamwar Nayan Singh for Cam Corella, scoring 125. And Lee Bukowski, as we spoke about earlier, for Coton, with 157 at the top of that. And quickly squeezing in the bowling in the last 20 seconds of the show. For this week, third was Shinto Paul for Cam Corella with 6 for 12. Then Sam Wilson for Bale, 6 for 11. And Matthew Hollis for Chatterer, 6 for 3. So great figures there. Thanks for all of our contributions today. You can download the podcast. And up next is Tim at the Music Generator. And then on Saturday is Strawberry Fair as well. See you next Wednesday from me, Ollie Slack. Goodbye.